Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friends? It's In This League on the daily. It's Bogman, it's Welsh, and we have got a brand new edition of In This League that, I don't know, brand new actually might not even be the best word there, Boggies, because we're actually going to be playing parts of an interview with our buddy Ariel Cohen that is also up on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast. But, friends, it's a little bit of commentary we're going to give you through here, and we're not giving you all of it. So if you want to listen to the whole thing where Ariel just trashes Rob Silver and calls him horrible name. No, whatever he does. There's a lot of other exterior stuff that's over on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast. But we had a good conversation about, you know, this, the realignment conversation, as well as reprojecting for not only having to reproject for a potential realignment, Boggs, but, you know, projecting for a shortened season.
Yeah. And it's a tough call for Ari. You can kind of tell here because he really wants to be positive, right? He really wants to say, yeah, we're going to get baseball. But, you know, in his mind, he says, yeah, we're probably not getting baseball because he's in the middle of New York where all the bad stuff is happening and he's an actuary and all that stuff. So it's an interesting dichotomy that he has going on with his thoughts about baseball this season. But he does have great information for when the season should come back, if it does come back. So pretty damn good listen here. I really like this episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff intertwined inside of it. In the meantime, though, if you guys want, come and follow us over on our Patreon. Go to InThisLeague.com, and it'll just zip you right over there. It'll take you over to our Patreon page. And there we have got tons of stuff. The comedy shows, we've got ranks up. I did some new additions to the prospect list. There is just a ton. We tell you about it every single day, not to be annoyingly repetitious, but, you know, we have to assume there's new listeners in and out, and maybe this will be the time that you guys want to come and hang out with us and have some fun. So go over to InThisLeague.com, join up with the Patreon, get lots and lots of extra access. But right now we're going to jump into our conversation with Ariel Cohen, creator of the ATC Projections. We're going to be talking about realignment, how you're going to reproject for a smaller season. So let's just get right into it. We were talking off air, specifically, we're going to talk about a little bit what we talked about in the last episode, the Cactus League Grapefruit realignment, as we were breaking down the AL and NL. We had also, in that episode, talked about the multiple plans. It's very funny. It's almost just like, you know, baseball is, you know, putting out little information to each different writer. Like, here's this plan. Here, you know, plan A, B, Japan, and all in Arizona, and this, that, and the other thing. And we were kind of talking in an off air, and in the conversation before we started recording, you kind of just threw at me, you're just like, baseball's just not coming back. Like, you don't think baseball is coming back. And it's like, we're going to talk about it, of course, but you're pessimistic about the season starting back up. And I think that is a conversation because that's not unlike the listener out there. And there's plenty of people, industry or not, that some believe baseball is going to come back full strength. Some believe or want it in any capacity. And then there are plenty of people that don't believe it comes back whatsoever. And in our conversation, Ari, you were just like, hey, I'm really glad, you know, you think that there will be, it's good. You can talk about, you know, the numbers and stuff like that. But what I think is uniquely specific about this, and this is what I wanted to save it for the episode, is I think the experience that everybody is having and where you are is helping dictate probably your thought process behind this, because you in New York is, as it's been described, even though Cuomo said, you know, like, the worst is over, it's been like a war zone out there with, you know, trucks ready for, it's horrific type of stuff. Where in Arizona, we're not really testing. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but they're not testing as much. There's little-ish cases. It's been a little bit worse on the reservations than it has anywhere else. my experience, it's, you know, it's warm, it's hot. There's people doing their thing. There's not a ton. They're taking it serious, but it's not as dire out here. And I think the personal experience of where you are is kind of pushing forward your worldview on where baseball can go. So, you know, as you were saying, like, I don't even remember if you kind of questioned, like, I wonder what the people who think it's going to happen, you know, like, you don't see it because you're in this specific place. Ariel, I think that kind of has some to do with you not being able to identify that a season can happen whatsoever when it's relatively low here and more than half of the plans actually work around Arizona in them playing here. So openly, tell me why you don't think baseball can happen this year whatsoever, because I know that's your worldview right now.
Yeah, sure. And you're 100% right that I'm going to be biased because I do live in New York where it's the epicenter currently. But I'm actually also biased because I'm an actuary. And what do actuaries do? We run pandemic models and we see how this turns out. If you restart the economy, you're not going to have this curve where it goes up and now we're at the peak and now it goes down and now we're done in 2 months. Doesn't work that way. You restart the economy, you do things. When you have a very rapidly spreading disease here, it's going to shoot up again. You're going to get this other blip if we're not too careful. And of course, we want to restart the economy, so it's going to have to go up somewhat. I mean, personally, I think that nothing's going to really restart until we get a big testing program, like they did in South Korea. Testing, following, tracing, quarantining, that really has to be in stage. And I don't think we're there yet. I think we're a couple months away. So in my estimation, we really can't restart the economy till somewhere in late summer. And by then, to have baseball start, we're not talking a season. We're talking more like a tournament. And I've said this on Twitter. I can see something starting in August, September, maybe October, where maybe you call it a mini season. I call it a tournament. And I can see that kind of structure happen. I really can't see this starting anytime before late summer, because I'm looking at the numbers and I'm looking at the curve. Unless everybody stays home, which means no baseball, it's going to come back. And anything can go wrong. I mean, what can derail baseball? Two guys on the Royals get the disease. The whole baseball shut down. Some guy who's working the video camera shuts down. What if some players say, I'm going to see the birth of my kids. I'm not quarantining. Well, he's done for the year. There's just so many things that can go wrong that the probability of everything going right is small. I have it at about 20 to 25% that we're going to have a season this
year. But what about the it being isolated? Like, I agree, by the way. And that's one of the things in all of this stuff of the Arizona only, all 30 teams in Arizona, the Japan League, or what I want to talk about here in a little bit, the split Cactus Grapefruit League realignment. Yep. In all of that, we have never heard once baseball confront if a player gets it again. You know, what are they going to do? Is it just going to, they're going to move on and maybe that guy's out and, you know, then baseball is going to have to implement some type of an IL type of a thing. Are they going to shut baseball down completely if it happens? And then I think that's where, yeah. I think that's where some of the cynicism comes in. If they're going to shut it down, sure. Why even play? Why even play if one dude gets it?
I haven't heard a good answer yet for... If so, and it's a very simple question. If a guy on the Royals gets the virus on July 15th and we started July 1st, what do you do? I haven't heard an answer. I haven't heard an attempt of an answer. Till I hear that, I have pessimism. If I hear what they're going to do and it makes sense, okay, I might have some more optimism. But I think you're not hearing that because this is just I'm not saying it's a fantasy. Baseball is doing the best they can to put on the most reasonable, feasible program that they could possibly do. And they should. I would do that too. I love that they're doing it. I love hearing the possibility of baseball. I love baseball. I write baseball. We do podcasts in baseball. I listen, I play baseball myself. I love the optimism. I just don't see the realism of what they're going to do in case of everything.
But
you know what I mean?
But okay, so let's go on a hypothetical for just a second, because you're saying under current scenarios, you project it like 20-25% chance that it can happen. Now, right. Let's in a hypothetical scenario here, because baseball is I actually commend baseball for the amount of different avenues they're exploring. They're really exploring all the different avenues to try to make this work in the best way. Let's assume for a minute they have a feasible idea behind if a player or camera person gets sick and it doesn't derail the whole season, because that logistically that doesn't make any sense. So let's say kind of, I think I even heard like Japan or China, like the guy would get sick and then he would just be quarantined and away from the team and everything moves on as forward. So let's say that's the scenario. Guy gets sick. Here's your answer. Whit Merrifield gets sick. They go put him. He quarantines for however long it takes. He's put on the IL and baseball doesn't stop. Do you think under the scenario of either all teams in Arizona in one place or at least in two places with no fans, isolated where they're not traveling, so they're just staying state-wise or, you know, county-wise, and a rule in place for this and no fans, I mean, don't you think that's feasible for a season to be played? Or are you talking under the scenario that, like, fans have to be there?
When someone gets the flu, they contract it from somebody, and the incubation period is 1 to 2 days, meaning they feel sick the day of or the day after. When someone contracts this from somebody else, it's 4 to 7 days. You can go a whole week and not actually have any effects, but are passing it off to others. If Whit Merrifield gets sick, he probably has infected the entire clubhouse if he was with them. So it's not as simple as just quarantine a guy who's sick. He probably transmitted it already. Again, if the plan is isolate him and carry on, I'll believe that. But then they also have to answer the question of what I just said is, what do you do about the clubhouse, the fact that they're probably infected also?
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm waiting for the realistic answer. I would love to move my optimism, and I'm praying that you're right. It's hard for me to move this optimism.
Yeah. Well, I think the only way that any of this works is if they have testing, you know, pretty much for every day.
Yeah, you're right.
The problem is if we get to that point where we have that, then any of these plans are really doable. But until we get there, I think that's kind of what you're at. But I think that's a possibility moving forward because they are making these tests quicker. Don't they have the one that if you have the antibody, so either your body has been fighting it or you've already had it, that one has come out and those results come back really quickly, right? I know it's expensive right now.
Yeah, you hit it, Scott. And that's it. And I think once it gets to that level, I think that you can reopen the economy. You can reopen baseball. I think politically it would be pretty bad if they made these tests rapid and shot 10,000 of them just for baseball guys. I mean, I think that would go over pretty poorly. But if it's readily available to everybody and they would do this, that would be great. And everything would be getting much closer back to normal. I think they're about 3 months away from that.
Yeah, I mean, I get your skepticism in a lot of it. I think one of baseball's biggest hurdles is identifying exactly what we've talked about how they do it, because they've hit a lot of the other stuff where you're going to have players sitting really, really far apart in the stands with no people there. They probably would be doing some type of temperature checks on a daily basis. So, I mean, if you take what I would see is that is a multitude of really positive hurdles that you take and that baseball is actually talking about them. It makes me feel like there's a better than not chance that baseball is played this year in more than just a tournament style, because, you know, if they tried to play all these teams in their own cities or spread it out over like 10 or something like that, you're going to have quarantine issues. But that's why I think the Arizona only issue or the spring training ish, the facilities work really well. But there is the biggest cloud, like you guys, you know, Bogman's great point with the testing. The biggest cloud is really at this point, what, because I don't think the fans being there matters at this point. I know some people do. I don't think that matters.
Everyone wants the games with fans, but, you know, who cares?
It doesn't matter.
No fans there, it doesn't matter to me. I don't think it makes a difference to any baseball fan as long as we're getting baseball on TV.
The Chinese Baseball League is already going on. They're playing it. It doesn't matter. They've had the plans of like miking up players so you could talk to players. They'll do the broadcast fine. Fans don't matter. It is literally, what do you do when a player tests positive? And if the answer is shut down the league or the team, baseball should not be played this year. If there's another viable option where the team can be quarantined and they're ready, and you might have a scenario where like 8 players on the Royals are out for a month or something like that, then the minor leagues are going to be utilized. If baseball still continues, then I think it plays. And what baseball is doing and the steps they're taking by the Cactus League or whatever, blah, 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 that makes me feel like we are headed into the, this is going to happen, then it's not. But But I our worldviews are they're very different. And, you know, you're way smarter than us, Ariel, and you're an analyst. And you're also you not only are you those things, you're in the epicenter of all of it. So right. I can understand the skepticism of this even being a possibility.
And by the way, I agree, though, that the way that it would work would be the way that they're outlining. And I love it that every single day and week you get a different version and a more clearer plan. Like they're really sharpening the pencil.
Yeah.
I love that. And you know what? I love the fact that now as a fantasy analyst, we get to think about how everything would be affected. You know, adding the DH, playing games in Arizona versus in Colorado versus in Miami. We have to think about how that actually affects fantasy value. I mean, I hate to say that this is like golden here because it's a virus, but this is fantastic thought food, you know?
Well, and it's
I love it.
And it's what we should be doing. So I want to talk. Okay, what is your favorite of them real quick? Because I don't want to get into the minutia yet. But between I think the three scenarios we've heard are everybody is in one state in Arizona. And there's some ramifications to heat. I've outlined it in the podcast and I've tweeted about it and stuff just because I personally experience the rookie league AZL is played in the summer here in Arizona. So I've laid out like, here's how they do it. You know, they can play three games in Chase and the majority of games are going to have to be played at night like they do in the AZL. So there's that scenario where every team is in Arizona. It's, you know, some people have said, I don't know how true it really is, but you know, the virus might have a hard time in heat. Well, you're going to have maximum heat here in Arizona and you're in one isolated place where people are traveling around. There's the Japan idea where take the same thing we talked about, but now you're sending them overseas and playing in Japan. Or there's the brand new realigned Cactus League grapefruit. Which one has your biggest stamp of approval?
I'll go with everybody in Arizona where there's some semblance of the normal leagues and schedule that we play. I'm a baseball purist or old guy, whatever you want to call it. I don't like the fact that now there's going to be the Mets are playing in the same division as the Cardinals and Nationals and Astros. And it's the Yankees, Phillies, Blue Jays, Tigers, Pirates. I don't know. It seems like and now everybody with a DH, you know, I'm a Mets fan. I'm a National League fan. I like the no DH. It's certainly for the baseball, forget about fantasy, for the baseball team, it makes it worse for the Mets because they're not designed for that. They're designed for no DH. So I don't like it as a purist. I'd rather have the schedules as close as you can to the way they were supposed to be. But I mean, I don't care. Whatever way you can get baseball, the best and the safest, that's fine by me.
Bogman, I don't think I even asked. I don't think we talked about this before. I know you're very much like, just give me baseball. But what's right. The one you would pick?
I think the Arizona one makes the most sense.
All Arizona, all 30 teams?
Yeah, I do. And I know that, you know, coming from you and me, it's going to sound selfish, like we're trying to get all the teams here. We're still
not. Yeah, but you're not invited.
The games.
No,
yeah, exactly.
Don't go anywhere. More Ariel Cohen right here on In This League on the Daily with Bogman the Welsh. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Welcome back. It's more In This League right here on The Daily over on The Sports Grid. I am Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. That is Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Having our conversation with Ariel Cohen, ATCNY, I think is a Twitter handle, creator of the ATC projection system. And just, you know, a bigger, further conversation. There's also the intertwining of it of like, you know, what he's dealing with being in New York. And, you know, something that I brought up in this conversation is the idea of, you know, Boggs, like his worldview is very different than ours. You know, living in New York creates quite a different worldview, which probably makes the idea of baseball being able to even be played just like asinine, like completely unrealistic. Right. I mean, Sports Grid is housed out of New York. I can't imagine a lot of those people can fathom it, but it's different here. So you've got a lot of different worldviews, just not even butting heads, but coming up against something that, you know, it's going to happen. Like it's going to happen, but
it's scary out there.
Yeah.
You know, it is like, you know, just to kind of bottom line it, it's scary out there. And out here, it's kind of like, yeah, we see some numbers, but it's not directly in our face. And over there, it's, you know, it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's what everyone's talking about. And, you know, living in such close quarters with other people just makes the wall shrink in a little bit more over there. So we're not quite at that peak yet here.
Yeah,
so.
It's a fun, interesting conversation. I mean, some of it's not fun, but, you know, the idea of the people that do not believe a season can happen versus the people that do believe a season's going to happen. And that's kind of what this battle is here, or not even battle, but that's what this conversation kind of hits ahead, where Ariel doesn't really believe it. I do. I think Bogman does as well. But we're going through the intertwinings of that, and then obviously going to be heading into what the projections are going to actually look like if a season comes through. So more continued conversation. We're going to jump right back into it. Ariel Cohen with Bogman and the Welsh. What you guys said about the all in Arizona, the reason why it is enticing is because it doesn't completely blow up baseball. It doesn't change divisions. It doesn't kill AL, NL. But I will tell you, I think the one I'm most probably excited about is actually the realignment. It's the two spring training ones, simply because I think the shortened season is going to have a lot of wonkiness. And you know what I talked about before, where I think baseball's ultimate goal, this is just my guess, is when they do confront, if a player has it, it's not going to be shutting down the league. It's not going to be quarantining the whole team. It's going to be it's going to be daily tests, and the player's just going to go away for a bit. And it could end up being 5, 6, 7 players that end up going away. Just like when you had, like, you know, hand, foot, and mouth and whatever with the Mets, I think 3 or 4 players ended up, you know, disappearing for a little bit, or if they get mono or whatever. And you're going to have a similar thing. That's going to be the, you're going to have that be the ultimate plan. That what that can really do is you're going to take a lot of these players away. And I'm building this story to say there's a lot of chaos no matter what we do if we have a season this year. Sure, I don't want to get rid of like the overall history and logistics of baseball, but I think the two leagues, the spring training facilities, makes the most sense because they're all in their own facilities. You are going to add the DH across the board. I don't particularly love, of course, that you've got AL and NL, but you're gonna flatten everything out to an even playing field. They don't have to leave their states. It gives an opportunity actually for baseball all through the day, because you could have morning games and you can have night games. And with the added DH in the NL, I think it really, really opens up the opportunity for more players to play, more ability for older players that if they're trying to stack games on top of each other, to be able to stay in the lineup with the DH. So I might surprise people that, because I don't tend to like change. I like that.
Well, if you had this though, you wouldn't have a lot of pitchers taking more than one at bat a game, because especially in early on, if they do a bridge spring training, then pitchers are not going to be able to go more than 3-4 innings at a time.
Oh, so, wow. So you don't think guys are going to even go into like qualified wins, like 5 innings at all?
No. Especially in the first couple of weeks. I mean,
oh, I know. I disagree with that. Okay.
The more you wait, the more time it takes now, they have to do a full ramp up back otherwise they're going to get injured. So instead of doing a month of spring training, which is what they would need to get back to the level, they're probably going to do a 10-day spring training and then ramp up slowly. I mean, Gerrit Cole, Yankees are not going to have him pitch 5 innings for him to blow himself out. They'll rather him pitch 3 innings and then you know, pull him. So
but that's just for a short period of time, though. That's not like you made it sound for a minute there like the whole season no one's going to go, because I agree with that.
I mean, well, it's a month worth
of
the season.
Ari also thinks that the whole season isn't going to be.
Let's say you start up in July 1st, so a month of that is you know, already a good chunk of the season, right?
Yeah.
Well, but that all depends on if they're moving the season back to play later, or if they're having the normal schedule and just cutting games off. We're just not sure at this point. So I think I think the Welsh's greater point here is let's go with the stuff that we can't do in a normal season. Am I speaking out of turn for you, Welsh, or is that kind of what you want to see? Just something different.
I mean, I think I'm in at this point because I know we're not getting a full-on season. We're always going to look at this, whether the season is played or not, as the asterisk season. It's going to be the 2020 season. It's always going to look different. I don't want things to crazily change, but at this point, you know what? You put teams in the best situation for them all to be in their facilities. You're not pounding, you know, 1,000 more people into Arizona that are trying to find space to do it. You can, from a TV rights perspective, I think you can get games throughout the entire thing, where East Coasters, there's a potential to lose a lot of East Coasters if only games are being played really at night and it's 10 p.m. Because of Arizona. I think it allows for the best possible viewership to stay true, but it really does obviously screw with what we know as baseball. The Yankees-Red Sox rivalry isn't quite the same because they're not in the same division, because it's all just kind of intertwined in there. So that's weird. But I'm up at this point for something interesting. And then from a fantasy perspective, Ariel, I was kind of like, I don't know, I might be more excited than ever to draft a Cactus League type of a draft or a Grapefruit League draft. And then, of course, as we talked about, the DH in the NL, it really opens up some this opens up some new fantasy opportunities that weren't there if NL teams utilize the DH.
Yeah, I mean, as a Mets fan, you know, J.D. Davis, Dom Smith would not get any playing time, really. Now, all of a sudden, those guys don't have to split time. They'll get time. Yoenis Cespedes.
I was saying Cespedes. That's interesting that you went to Dom.
Well, Dom Smith is like 160 WRC plus player, so he's better than people think. But yes, Cespedes, he just has to, first of all, he can just stay at his ranch because it's just like 10 minutes away from, maybe he doesn't want to, and you know,
he could take a horse to the stadium. He could just take a horse.
He doesn't want to be running out in the field in that ranch. We know that.
Yeah,
he
wouldn't have to patrol the outfield. He can just DH. So it's very interesting. It also, you have to think of other things, like take a guy like Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres, one of his big appeals was, he had so many home runs last year. Well, a lot of them were against the Baltimore Orioles. He plays at a Yankee Stadium, short porch. Orioles is great. Oriole Park's a great home run hitter park, and the Orioles stink. Well, with the realignment, you wouldn't be playing the Orioles like that. Gleyber Torres' value will go down. A lot of nuances. How about Colorado? Colorado hitters.
Yeah.
Oh, they're gonna be crushed. But how about Colorado pitchers? I mean, Germán Márquez and
John Gray all of a sudden is a great option.
John Gray is a fantastic option.
Yeah, Salt River Field is interesting because the dead center, it's like a 4'10" dead center, and it takes some weight. It takes some weight to get that over there. The porches on the corners, I don't know, they're still pretty short, and the ball is still going to fly in Arizona. I mean, one thing I've been talking about, regardless of how they do this, I wonder, though it probably wouldn't matter, I was like, I wonder if they would do a humidor to kind of help them, because the ball's going to fly a little bit more here. But the problem is it's 118 degrees. What does a humidor matter? As soon as the ball gets outside, it's going to be destroyed.
The least of their concerns is the humidor.
Yeah, exactly.
Take like Mike Trout. I mean, Angels Park there is actually a pitching-friendly stadium. He might hit a heck of a lot more homers this year. Trout's value could be higher. It's a shorter season, so he doesn't have to play all the games. He might be able to stay healthier longer. It might help some guys like that. There's so many interesting things that you really almost have to go player by player to see whether they go up or down in value, right?
Let's bring up a couple. We were talking because we went NL team by NL team in Monday's episode, and it was kind of off the cuff, and we were just talking about, because one of the first ones that jumped to my mind in Arizona, though then I had to retract a little bit, I immediately was like, man, Kevin Cron, like this is what he's built for. He's built to be a DH, but they also have Josh Rojos, who, you know, this could be a spot for them to DH Cole Calhoun, and then they could put Rojas out in the outfield, and then, you know, all of a sudden you got this power speed combo. But the first player that jumped out to me of having value, and it's a little bit more speculative, and I don't think Bogman was quite in it as much as I was, but a guy, Aristides Aquino, who they wanted full at bats on, they're probably going to send him down to AAA because there's a logjam in the outfield. This would be an opportunity for Aquino to be a full-time DH, I think, and then you could have Shogo, Senzel, and Castellanos with Winker as your fourth outfielder. So I feel like Aquino would be a really big fantasy boost. Do you agree, or do you think it's someone else?
No, that's a great name. I mean, you talk about sent down. Who's being sent down to where? There's no sent down here.
Well, you're 100% right about that. I know. Right, I know what you're getting. I know what you're getting at. Yeah, at this point,
they're not going to play him in the minors. He's going to be on the roster, right? So 100%, he's going to get more.
They're going to have expanded rosters anyway. So
correct.
Most likely.
Correct. So. If it was a regular season, Aquino might not have started in the major leagues. He might have been, because he has options. He might have been put in the minor leagues for at least the first couple weeks, at least. So he's going to get more playing time than he would have. His value is going to go up just from that alone.
Bogman, what was your favorite one was over on the Padres?
Yeah, Will Myers. Will Myers kind of platooning, and a lot of people either being all in on him because of his value going into drafts this year. I think that kind of goes away because now he's definitely going to get every single day at bats.
Well, people were assuming a trade too. That was the big thing. He had no value with the Padres because there was no position, but people assumed that the value existed when the Padres finally traded him, but DH changes that.
Absolutely. There was no position. Now he is the DH. It's pretty simple right there, right?
I think that's one of the easiest ones that we have. I mean, what about Colorado? That's another one we are kind of looking at going, they have so many options to DH. I'm just not sure which way it would go.
With Colorado, I worry less about who's going to be the DH. I worry more about the fact that all their hitters are not going to have Colorado to hit at. Charlie Blackmon ain't going to hit as many homers as he usually does. Trevor Story won't. Maybe Arenado will. I don't think Arenado is a completely course product, but there's going to be a lot of guys who aren't. How about a guy like Garrett Hampson? Well, if he's on the roster, he's going to get a lot more pinched running opportunities. His stolen base value is going to go up. I would say it really helps a guy like Hampson, but it hurts a guy like Arenado. I don't have to worry about the DA. The Colorado has so many guys shuttling up and down that you can go put Daniel Murphy at DH for, you know, that might be the solution there.
Yeah, that was Welsh's idea.
I think that would be the best case scenario is Murphy DHing and then McMahon is first and Hampson is second. So specifically on Colorado, then I'm kind of intertwining where we were going to go with this, but this is a free flowing conversation. You know, I do want to talk about, even though you probably been just like, oh, season's not going to play it, how can I readjust projections? But like, Colorado specifically, how would you attack them in this standpoint? You're saying they all take a little bit of a dip down because they're in Arizona. Well, like, what does that do for projections? What does that do for the value? Like, how much of a knockdown? Like, where does Story go where he's like a maybe 10 or 11 overall pick? Do you think it's so significant? Because the ball is still going to fly in Arizona. It's hot. It's higher elevation.
Second highest elevation behind Colorado. Yeah, I mean, still not even close to Colorado.
And the ballpark factors, like, there's some ballparks out here that the ball will absolutely fly when they get there. So I feel like that Colorado hitter thing is a little bit overdone. But, like, what do you think? Like, how would you reproject? And where does the value of Story and, let's say, Blackmon change to?
Right. Well, first of all, even though I'm pessimistic about the season, I still do my reprojections and I do everything I can to prepare myself for the season. And of course, I write about it. So I'm optimistic in that regard. Right.
Yeah. And I think you have them on Sportsline right now. Aren't your projections over on Sportsline?
Yes. So if you go on CBS Sportsline, you can see my projections, which assume these projections assume a June 1st start date, but in regular cities. So there's no changing to Grapefruit League and Cactus League. Obviously, that's really new. But eventually, I'll change to it if it's going that way. The hitters won't really go down as much. I think it really has to do with certain of the guys who are warning track power guys, and whether that would continue. Maybe like the McMahon type of guys who might have 25 homers, and that might reduce to 20. So we're talking a 20% reduction in power. I think it more is on the pitchers. I think the ERAs of the pitchers will drop. John Gray is a lot more valuable. He'll get the same strikeouts, but the ERAs will not kill you. They'll probably help you in a roto format. So we're talking quite a bit of run production on the pitchers.
What, like, just, yeah, and I agree with that. Like, Herman Marquez is such a funny one, too, because he gets so much flack all the time, but he actually might be one of those, like, post-150 players that people want to target even more. And, you know, there's other ways you can go about it. You know, the hot box at Cincinnati is kind of given. Guys like Luis Castillo might even look a little bit sexier. Maybe even Bauer out here in Arizona, though the ball does fly in Goodyear. But, like, just real quick, not moving past his story, if he was the 10th overall player, do you think, and Arenado, actually, because Arenado had taken a bit of a dip, do you think those guys both become more mid-second-round picks? Like, are you taking guys like, I'm looking on NFBC since March 1st, and guys behind both of them are like Bregman, Jose Ramirez, Max Scherzer. Do you think they need to start falling below those players leaving Colorado?
Well, Arenado, no, because remember, Arenado doesn't have a stolen base component. So if you're taking him high up, you're not going to reduce because of stolen bases. I think that a guy like Story will probably steal less bases in the heat of Arizona than he would have in Colorado. I think that there are other viable shortstops available later to compensate on the speed, so that from a roster construction standpoint, Story is less valuable. So I would want to drop him now down lower. Arenado, I would probably leave in the very same spot.
All right, we're going to stop right there for 1 second. Hit a break right here on In This League. Last segment, Ariel Cohen with us talking more about the projections. So don't go anywhere. In This League right around the break.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
All right, welcome back. Final segment right here on In This League, the daily edition on Sports Grid. Our buddies over at Sports Grid continuously having daily stuff from In This League. We really appreciate them. Also, the weekend edition coming up. Let's jump right in, and Bogman and I will talk to you on the back end of this segment, have a couple minutes to debrief on this. This is Ariel Cohen, Bogman Welsh, our conversation finishing up, talking about, you know, how the projections and who the people that are going to benefit right here and in this league. Would you wait to do ballpark factors until something is set into play, or would you start speculating on ballpark factors for Grapefruit and Arizona?
I wait for two reasons. One, because, I you know, this just came out, and until I get you know, you'll get a month's notice before this is really implemented, and I can turn things around in pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting till I get the impetus. But also remember, I use ATC projections. I will actually wait and see what the other underlying projections will do
exactly
before I have to decide, do I need to reweight? Do I need to look at it? What are they doing? What do I want to do? So I'll gather more information first.
When you run them the first time, can we get a sneak preview?
Well, you asked nicely. Not pestering like Rob Silver. So, okay, yeah.
You know what would be really interesting, too, will be how Cardi would deal with it. Because I know Cardi will put, like, for the bat.
Man.
Well, no, but besides where you're trying to go with it, I'm saying, like, he'll put, like, umpire stuff in it. And if they go to Arizona, they would start potentially implementing one of the scenarios was the robo ump being 6 feet away. So the ump calls would be made.
They did that
at Salt River out here. So that would change probably just a tiny bit some of the.
You know what's funny, though? I mean, with Cardi, I think his implementation of it is fairly easy because, you know, he would put in the next projected schedule, whatever it is. He would get whatever ballpark factors he could. And I think it would be easy for him to implement, but and no offense to him, it's not his fault. It would be harder to prove that his system would be as accurate as before.
With Robo.
The error bar is so much greater, and he might be way off in doing the same kind of implementation. So it's going to be tough for him. And he sells this stuff, so it's hard for him. I feel for him.
Yeah, it's a really weird process, and you know, I think a lot of people are going to be just kind of on their heels to deal with it. Like, there's going to be blatantly obvious things that we're going to deal with that we're going to know. The pitching ballparks are probably going to come down a little bit because spring training facilities are always tend to be a little bit more offensive. I mean, maybe in Florida teams, the Grapefruit League with high humidity, you might see the ball fly a little bit less. That could be a plus to pitchers. The ball's still going to fly in Arizona, but there's going to be some pitchers that are going to boost a little bit. I think overall offense in Arizona is going to go up. And then obviously the reformatting with the DH, that equates to a lot of really good potential positive things that we could go on the surface. But then you get the, you know, under the surface level things of robo umpires, which could have an effect. There also could be a momentum. You know, momentum is kind of completely lost without fail. There's a lot of just uniquely interesting things that are involved in this.
And here's one thing that I don't think people are thinking of. But it has to do with risk. And, you know, as the actuary, I think about it, because you have a shortened season, wherever it is, right? The law of averages says that if you play a lot of games, the good players will eventually end up being the good players and the bad players will be the bad players. Mike Trout, if we played 10 years worth of baseball, he'll turn up as very close to the number one player. But in any given season, Trout doesn't end up number one. He could end up number 7, 20, whatever. In this short season, anything can fly. I wouldn't bet that Mike Trout would be the best player. Well, I know Eddie Rosario can light it up and hit there. Matt Olson might light it up and be the best player. There's more of a chance of somebody from the mid-pack to jump up and have an outsized game. And if Mike Trout starts out in a slump, there's less time for him to make up the time with his goodness to get back to being great. So you're going to see very wonky things going on this season.
Boggs, that's like, remember when I was talking about in our player debate, Paul Goldschmidt. I think Paul Goldschmidt's a guy that he kills you with an entire season of kind of, you know, making it happen, where if you don't give him
the
slow burn. Yeah, exactly. Like the slow burn doesn't work, I think, in favor of a guy like Goldschmidt.
No, and I usually don't pay attention to people who are streaky or consistent, but it's to be honest, I think you need to look for more consistent players, the guys who grind every week, because I have a better a probability of them returning their value than a really good player. Now, in a draft, it's really hard. You know, Mike Trout's available first 2-3 picks, you're going to pick him. But in an auction, I would not spend a lot of money on top players because they're probably not going to be much better than guys who are going to cost half as much. I'd spend more money on getting the quantity, like get a lot of middle players and maybe hopefully one will jump up to being the number one guy. I wouldn't spend my money there. So it affects auctions more than it does drafts in terms of gathering risk.
Well, Ari, I haven't even thought about this till right now, but if there is a shortened season, say it's 100 games, say it's in Arizona, let's just, you know, whatever, start July 1st and it's in Arizona. How hard is it going to make projections for 2021 should we get back to normalcy? next year in baseball.
That's a good point.
Yeah, really tough. I think for veteran players, it's probably a little bit easier because you just reweight some of the years more. You know, the weight for 2020 won't be as much, but you'll give more credit to the older years. And, you know, older players, it's an aging curve and it'll just fall down. For prospects and guys just coming up, I mean, Joe Adele, who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Luis Robert, oh, goodness. Who the heck knows what to do? Let's say there is no season. How do you project Luis Robert the following year?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot more Aristides Aquinos out there that, you know, they just need that short sample size. Like, one of the things I brought up multiple times to this year was Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jordan Alvarez. You know, they played about a half of a season, though they were kind of split, you know, Tatis getting hurt and whatnot. But these guys never had a chance to fail. And we haven't seen them fail because, you know, first, you know, run, they were good. Not enough teams had quite adjusted to them. What happens, you know, what happens when those players, the people catch up to them? Or the inverse, what happens if we get a slew of those type of players come into a shortened season that the league hasn't had enough time to adjust and catch up to? And The overweighting value. I mean, Aristides, you know, he went up and then he really came back down that last month. But I think we're going to just have more of that going into 2021 where people, like you said, It could be Joe Adele. It could be Ty France. You know, you never know who the guys are going to look like. It could really, really wonk out 2021 if people aren't ready.
And the projection systems that do a lot of just weighting history, well, they're going to really overweight those prospects who had a good or who had a bad season. I mean, Vlad Jr. is probably going to get worse a rap than he should because his first year wasn't fantastic. And I'll tell you, it actually might make ATC look better because ATC takes some of those projections who do that, but they also blend in some manual projections who might have a better eye for some of these prospects. So it could be an opportunity for ATC to shine even more. You never know.
I 100% agree. And I think you should do a tweet and you should be like, this is the greatest projection system out there. And you should should at Rob Silver. I was just trying to get a Rob joke in there. But like, I 100% actually agree with that. Like an aggregate like yours is actually going to be safer when there's a lot of risk. So I'm in agreement.
It was the best system last year when we had a real season, so I assume it's going to be better and safer in who knows what's going to be in 21, it'll be the best, hopefully.
Last thing here, you got a great article people should go check out. We were going to spend a little bit more time on it, but this has been a good conversation. It's over on Rotoballer. It's adjusting fantasy baseball projections for a delayed opening day. You know, we've had different conversations. We talked with John Anderson from Fantasy Pros, kind of about like how you need to change your draft strategy. This is dealing with projections, and there's a lot of good stuff on here that you talk about with standard leagues. A lot of math in here, Ariel, that I'm just like, oh. There's injured players, there's prospect stuff, there's suspended, and at the very bottom, you've kind of got a chart where you break down old to new value. I think it's very helpful, and this is like you talked about. It's about a June 1st start, moving forward. I would love it if you could just maybe go over a few of your favorite names. I think there's some obvious stuff in here. Not saying, you know, I'm not downweighting. I'm just saying there are obvious names, like Willie Calhoun is one. I think he probably is one of the biggest value boosters on this. And I 100% agree, because now where he lost a season, he comes back on an even playing field. But I would be curious if you could just name a few of your favorites, whether it's inning caps, injuries, or whatever, that have less effect of the risers and fallers based on rerunning projections. So who are few of your favorite guys?
Yeah. Trey Mancini jumps to mind. I think that he fell off a map because, unfortunately, he had cancer. But he might get a nice big boost because he might be participating in the last couple of months, hopefully, right? Cross our fingers. I like him. I think that Lance McCullers, a guy, and Jose Urquidy. I love Urquidy for this year going into it. Now that he probably won't have an innings cap, I love him still. So check out those Astros pitchers. By the way, you know, the asterisk has now been moved from the Astros to the whole season, right? So and, you know, especially if there's no fans, you won't have a psychological effect on fans.
Boy,
where,
yeah,
you know, well, Altuve is not going to get up to bat and everyone goes, boo. Well, if the Mets are playing them, the Mets are not going to boo them. So Altuve is going to be Altuve. Get a guy like him. Alex Bregman, for some reason, he was going cheap in draft before. He's worth it. I think Bregman's going to be a boost because of a short season played without fans. Go get him. Astros. Yeah.
What if somehow the Astros cheat and they still figure out a way to not get booed every single
They're the biggest beneficiaries. I know. It's 100% right. Were there any guys that were more of a, like, there's some surprises on here, I'll be honest with you.
Sure.
I'm surprised Kopech didn't get more of a boost. He went from like a negative 1.5 to a negative 1.1. So, and I believe these are auction values, obviously, right? That you have on here.
Yeah.
So like, I'm surprised he didn't get a little bit more of a boost. Were there any that you were surprised when you ran that didn't get more of a boost, or anyone that went negative that kind of jumped out to you?
Not really. I mean, most of them were positive there. It's tough because once you get into in terms of the math, the negative numbers, don't really tell the story. Yeah, it doesn't tell a story because a negative two and a negative one are much closer than you think. It's closer than like 3 to 4 because they're both under replacement. So it's a little bit hard to tell. I would have thought that Jordan Hicks might have gotten a little bit bigger bump because he might return and actually pitch and be the closer and, you know, get there. Aaron Judge, I would have thought maybe got a little bit bigger bump than he did. That didn't go.
And what did he go to? He went from 14 to 22 bucks.
Yeah, I would have thought he would have gone more. Same thing with Stanton. I think Stanton should have gotten a little bit more. But, you know, these are the numbers. And, of course, that's for a June 1st evaluation date. When I change it to July 1st in my next run, you'll probably see even a bigger bump for these guys. A guy like Kopech will really feel it even more.
That's crazy. What's on the horizon for you, man? What do you got going on?
Well, gonna be because of not having the day to day baseball stuff, gonna have more time to actually develop like new formulas and statistics. Last year, I came out with a formula WPDI, which is the Weighted Plate Discipline Index, that measures pitchers on how deceptive they are, but just by where they throw the ball. Are they throwing in the strike zone, out of the strike zone? Are they being swung at? Are pitchers not being swung at? And Alex Fast, who you might know, has done some great work with CSW called Strikes and Whiffs. And actually, there's a nice bridge between the two. And so I'm going to actually be investigating that and widening it and generalizing even more of his CSW to fit in my framework. And that might branch out to some meaningful things. So that's on the horizon.
All right, there you go. Big ups to Ariel Cohen. It was a fun conversation. There is more of it if you guys want to go check it out. I mean, maybe you intertwine both podcasts anyways, and it's what you listen to. If that's the case, good on you. If you don't, you're only a radio listener, just a heads up that there is much, much more conversation over on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast where we talked about he talked about Rob Silver. We talked about, some of the personal leanings he's got going on this and even one of my fun projection systems at the end that I was hoping he would work on. That we found out, unfortunately, Risk Bucks, Ron Chandler has like a version of Risk Bucks. I just gave it a funner name.
Rob Chandler's is Babs, and that's the plus minus stuff. I actually sat in on that conference the first time I went to First Pitch with Ron Chandler to talk about it. So it's different. Like, you would be putting actual dollar values, but you do need a system instead of, there's Risk Bucks.
It's a metric.
And it's too many for this guy. It's a metric. Here they are. Here's my Risk Bucks.
It's a buzzword. It's a metric. It's a thing.
Yeah. You can't just make it a metric by saying, it's Risk Bucks. It's a metric.
I think once say it, it's a thing. If I say it out loud, I'm like, it's a metric. And it's like, it is. Where
that's
what's
like
the metric?
Saying chocolate fairies. It's a candy. You know? Yeah, what? Exactly. What do you mean? Well, what candy is it? It's a candy. It's chocolate fairies. Just saying chocolate in front of something doesn't make it automatically a candy. That's all.
It's going to be really interesting where all this goes in the really, really near future, because I know we've been living in kind of this space of like, who knows down the line in the future, blah, blah, blah. But like, we're kind of at a head, especially politically, with a lot of the virus and the opening back up the country. The conversation is really starting to ramp up and, them wanting to open the country up like April 30th or May 1st or whatever it is. How real that is, that's I don't know how real that seems, to be honest with you, but how real it is it's beyond us regardless if it happens
that's
or not.
That's what keeping it real goes wrong.
I guess.
Dave Chappelle told us about that.
But we're halfway through April, and if baseball were to come back in June, they're going to have to make a decision, and they're going to, I know, and that's a tough thing to say because making a decision isn't as easy as it sounds. Jeff Passan has, you know, been reporting that they don't have a definitive. They've kicked around a litany of ideas, which I really appreciate that they're working through all of them, and they haven't come to one. But the reason why this conversation needs to kind of keep getting sped up is because it's coming. It's I actually think by next week, we might have some real like headway where they're going to say this is the plan as long as this one thing happens. And we might have, you know, a much clearer idea, because if it's like viable, it's got to happen quickly, Boggs. It can't just happen right in a 2-week span. So we're kind of coming up on it. So I thought this conversation, it worked really well in this space.
Yeah, you know, it's a good conversation to have, and it's necessary. You know, I know some people don't want to talk about baseball in a time like this, and that is completely understandable. But we need to talk about it right now, because like you said, it's coming right up real quick on us here.
That's right. So, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Come and check us out. InThisLeague.com takes you to our Patreon. Join up. Get all the perks. Lots of different episodes and streaming content. It'll keep you busy in this weird time. And ITL, we keep rolling on. Thank you guys for listening as always. And find us on Twitter at IsitTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. You guys have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Peace.
Bye.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.